Muddy Knees Media.
Hello and a warm welcome to The Offside Rule. It's me, Kate Borsay. Hello. And there's just one match day to go in the Premier League. But fear not, we're here to cover it all. And alongside me to help are my usual side slash wing women. First up, from Norwich to Sheffield to West Ham, she's here, there and everywhere. From Amazon to the Premier League and final score, it's Lindsay Hooper.
Hello, not long to go.
Not long to go. And alongside her, from Manchester to Middlesbrough, with a bit of Scottish tartan thrown in for good measure, it's Sky Sports presenter Hayley McQueen.
Oh, hello. What a lovely intro.
Freshly pedicured.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I have a manicure pedicure. My nails are so disastrous, though, that even the polish hasn't quite managed to make my hands and feet look as lovely as I'd have hoped, because all this hand sanitizer and all this hand washing with having a baby and all the gardening that's been happening as well throughout lockdown has pretty much ruined my hands and feet. But I had a treat because I was supposed to be getting married this weekend. So my family decided that, because I would have been booked in to have the full works this week, that they'd still send me to have a little pamper session because I've got absolutely nothing to look forward to.
We would have all been in France.
We would have.
We would
have
all been in France. It's true. But you know what? The way it's turned out, you would have needed to be here anyway, I suppose. Certainly you, Lindsay. So in a weird and wonderful way, there is some fate involved there.
Yeah.
And like every other soon-to-be wedded couple, have you organised for next year, Hayley? Or are you just going to see where the land lies after the pandemic?
We have organised for next year. So you guys probably remember that we rescheduled anyway to the beginning of June, then realised it was the start of the Euros. I was like, that's going to be no good. So then quite quickly we took an August bank holiday date, but that's in the football season, but there was nothing in between. It was like trying to figure out the end of the football season but not too close to the beginning of the season because it might not be hot enough, and also we don't know when the football season is going to end. Then there's the Euros and trying to sandwich in something at the end of that. Then another friend's getting married. It's just weddings galore.
What
next
a headache.
Year so
just too I'm, much football oh, as well
what
you
the...
can't get a wedding booked in, but at least you tried. You're my only friend that tries to avoid the football season.
So. Yes. Well, I do have sympathy for every other couple trying to organise their wedding around the football schedule next year. I've come back from the seaside. Driven up, got home about 15 minutes ago. We've been on the Kent coast in a place called Hythe, which is near Folkestone. Wonderful. Totally recommend supporting UK tourism. So if you're staying at home and you're thinking of a staycation this summer, the Kent coast, as with the many other coastlines, Norfolk, and obviously there's, you know, down Devon, Cornwall, Dorset, etc. as well. I would totally recommend it. We've had a lovely few days away. So I'm actually feeling fully vitamin D'd up and ready and raring to go. It was a bit weird, though, sort of lying in a hotel room trying to keep across what was going on in the Championship on Wednesday night.
I thought you were going to say it was a bit weird being in a hotel room trying to keep 2 metres social distancing from Dan.
That did not happen. Lindsay, we know you've been here, there and everywhere since we last spoke, but this weekend you're at West Ham Villa, are you?
Oh, yes. So I got given this match knowing that there could be quite a lot riding on it. And now for Aston Villa, after beating Arsenal, there really is. So I'm looking forward to that, because the last game I did was Norwich Burnley and there was nothing at all really riding on that. Just Burnley trying to get their highest points finish, which is sort of scraping the barrel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And there is so much tense excitement going into that final day of the Premier League season. Villa, Watford and Bournemouth, of course, going into that still not knowing who is going to be relegated. So, yeah, who's going to join Norwich? So, yes, very, very exciting. Coupled with last night, I feel like this is the exhilarating end to the football season we were perhaps looking for. And, of course, mass celebrations last night for Liverpool. Slightly questionable firework display as well.
What did you make of that trophy ceremony, Kate?
I thought it was nice. I thought sort of Jurgen Klopp's rallying cry. I actually heard it on the radio first and it sounded like he was speaking to an empty stadium, and it made me laugh because I was like, who are you talking to there? But when I watched it back this morning, he was actually talking to the TV cameras, of course. Some slightly questionable comments about coronavirus, a few swear words thrown in as well. But I think the sort of most concerning thing was all the fireworks going on outside the stadium as well. And it's really tough, because because the people, of course, fans do want to celebrate. And that was what was meant to be happening inside. And it almost felt like it was too tempting. It's like it's like hearing that there's a huge party going on and you've not been invited, but you live next door.
Yes.
Because you can't get involved. We had to watch it on our TV. So, you know, of course, fans turned up, as they did for Leeds as well. You know, I'm not a massive fan of holding sort of an open top bus celebration and then telling fans to stay awake. What's the point in that? Anyway, we'll move on to that a little bit later on. I have got an update for you, though, after last week's groundbreaking chat about how to eat a Tunnock's tea cake. It caused a bit of a ruckus on Twitter, didn't it? Hayley, I was reading in The Athletic this week that former United youth teamer David Jones, he was once punished by Sir Alex Ferguson. And the punishment was to come up with Scottish recipes for the canteen staff to make. Which I thought was a good one. Can I ask for your suggestions, both of you? If you if you had to ask canteen staff at your workplace to... I mean, I don't know why that's a punishment, because surely Scottish food is lovely and wholesome and very nutritious.
Yeah, but, all that tasty
apart
haggis.
From the fried Mars bars, yeah. Can I ask what your suggestion would have been?
Oh, I think I would have just gone for straight old haggis neeps and tatties. If anyone knows what that is. Just traditional with a nice sauce over the haggis, possibly whiskey, a whiskey sauce. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. What's the neeps? Is that like parsnips?
Yes, parsnips.
Oh, good, you see.
Potatoes.
I'm obviously tuned in.
So usually I'd be with Hayley and I'd be more savoury, but on this occasion, as you're saying Scottish, I'd have to go for some shortbread.
Oh, homemade shortbread.
I was thinking that too. A nice bit of shortbread. Oh. Maybe a nice stew, a nice proper traditional Scottish stew. Anyway, you can keep your suggestions coming in, folks. If you like, you can get involved in the Tunnock's tea cake debate over on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod. To read that story and more, by the way, from The Athletic, you can get a free test run by heading to athletic.com/offside for a 30-day trial. We get to sample what they've got to offer, and there are some very fine journalistic talents there indeed. On to today's show. It is all about the Championship shortly after that fantastic round of last fixtures on Wednesday. We'll also be creating our ultimate female boardrooms and coaching staff after a host of celebrities in America. Well, they've come together to create Angel City FC in their Women's League. I'm looking forward to that. Plus, after Steve McManaman was 10 minutes late to commentate earlier this week, it's only right, as we are on our penultimate episodes, that we stick our hands up and say that there may have been a few unprofessional moments between us ladies that have left us a little bit red-faced. And of course, we're on Jack Radio every Friday at 4 in the afternoon. All right, topic one, registration. Wednesday night saw, well, one of the most thrilling ends to the Championship season, or any season that we've seen in a long time. 12 matches, and just one of them was a dead rubber. There were draws aplenty, weren't there, with what felt like minutes left to go. But the result is this. West Brom promoted to the Premier League despite only drawing with QPR. Brentford choked. They were beaten by Barnsley. Barnsley stay up then with their last minute winner. Wigan have been relegated after a draw with Fulham. There's, of course, that that points penalty to Wigan, which has seen their fate. Charlton and Hull also down. Swansea pip Nottingham Forest to the final playoff place. Just a word of sympathy to Forest fans. I can't really read it out, but Daniel Storey, who is a well-known sports journalist and Forest fan, just simply said that supporting them is a horrible, forlorn, gut-wrenching experience. And then he went on to swear, so I won't say what else.
And poor Matt Davis Adams as well, who had to host the Totally Football League show afterwards. Big Forest fan.
Painful. Gosh. But, you know, Wigan's situation was also painful, of course, because they were held to a draw by Fulham, weren't they? If they'd have won, they'd have stayed up despite that 12-point deduction. So there was just so much going on. Do you think it lived up to expectation, ladies? Probably a silly question, but let's get your point of view. I know. Hayley, well, where did you watch it, and tell me about the drama?
It was just so edge of the seat type situation. I have a few friends who are, you know, I've got a friend who's a Charlton supporter who was texting me. I've got another who's a Fulham fan who dislikes Brentford immensely. And I was kind of keeping an eye on Brentford because I knew that would be something that I was going to be chatting about today in one of our topics. And it's the closest team to, of course, Sky Sports and our studios as well. Natalie Sawyer is the biggest Brentford fan, is just desperate for them to get into the Premier League. So it was just kind of looking at all that was happening there and seeing all the different hashtags on Twitter and what was trending and what people were saying about it. And it was just really fun to watch. And I did just keep thinking, it's such a damn shame that we do not have the fans in the stadium, because that would obviously just have added to that as well. So that was a real shame not to see all of that, and the fans not to have seen it, of course, in the stadiums as well, regardless of whether your team are going up or not, just to be part of the drama and feel like and say you were there.
But then I guess if you're a fan of Wigan, Charlton and Hull, you're probably pretty glad that you were able to just retreat into your own little burrow.
Yeah.
What it really highlighted as well is just how tough, and I know that everyone talks about this, but how tough the Championship is. Mm-hmm. Not only is it an extremely long season, they cram in so many matches. To be able to get to the Premier League, that journey, you saw it on Slaven Bilic's face, didn't you? It's just that relief, because to get there, that's the hard bit done now. I mean, it's going to be difficult for any of these teams to stay, of course, but that promotion, wow, you just think, as someone like Brentford, who maybe had an open door opportunity and that was shut and they've got to go through the playoffs, if they don't manage to get through the playoffs, then they'll be kicking themselves, because it's such a long drawn process.
Who's your favourite for the playoff, Linz? Brentford, Fulham, Cardiff, Swansea?
I actually think Swansea now, because I think that they run on that momentum. I think there's also quite a lot of stats around the fact that the teams that finish third don't very often get promoted.
Go through, yeah.
So it doesn't bode well for Brentford, because of course they're battling disappointment, while Swansea, who managed to topple that goal difference and finish above Nottingham Forest, they've got all of that joy and momentum that they can take into the playoffs. Mm. So I would watch out for Swansea. I also think that Fulham could spring a surprise, because Wigan were tough to play, because Wigan had survival on their minds. So Fulham could be another.
Well, we know, don't we, that Leeds are playing Premier League football, champions of the Championship, finishing top. West Brom join them. And of course, the third is to be decided. But we are going to come up with some welcome to the Premier League packs. So a bit like an induction into the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, some of these teams have been there before. I'll take Leeds. Lindsay, you're going to take West Brom. Hayley, which...
Yeah, thanks for that, by the way.
Yeah, good.
For the Wolves fans. Cheers.
Absolutely fine. My pleasure anytime. Hayley, who are you going to take from those playoffs?
Well, I did think it was going to be Brentford, but that game last night, my goodness. I'm going to go with Brentford just because I decided on them before last night.
And
I'm going to stick to my guns. But kind of Brentford, Fulham. I mean, it's very hard, as Lindsay just mentioned, the reasons behind Swansea there. Goodness me, they're all in with the chance. But yeah, I'm going for the local team to Sky.
OK, well, let's get started with this then. I'm going to chip in with a few of mine. So I'm imagining that Leeds arrive pre-season, beginning of the Premier League, and that each sort of executive board member is given a nice glossy pack on survival. And some of these points might be quite basic, ladies, but they need to be outlined, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So number one point from me for Leeds, don't get rid of your manager the minute it starts to go wrong. Bielsa, top class manager for me. And other top managers like Pep Guardiola are genuinely excited to learn from how Bielsa's team will play in the Premier League. That's what Guardiola said. The other coaches are going to be watching out for him and are genuinely interested in him. So for goodness sake, don't fall foul of what many other promoted teams do. Mess up to begin with and then panic. Another little point in my pack is Leeds have got every right to be there. They're on the all-time Premier League table, by the way. They're still 13th, despite a 16-year absence. So, you know, statistically, Leeds need to believe that they absolutely need to be there. Another one from me before I get, I ask you to chip in with a few. Keep brand Leeds in mind, the Leeds brand. Even your more sophisticated opposition will wobble at the back now and again. Press high, force mistakes and aggressively pressure defences. This is the Leeds way, right? Pressure them into making mistakes with some strong attacking football. Don't forget brand Leeds. Hayley, you're taking Brentford. A couple from your little manifesto for them, please.
I'm just going to tell them, because they're in Brentford and because obviously they'll be joining other London clubs in the Premier League you know, playing up against Arsenal, Chelsea, when they go on to get a potential win against one of the other London clubs, don't go wild in nightclubs. Don't go out celebrating too much because the cameras will always be there. The paparazzi will be hot on you. They might not pay as much interest to you in the Championship, but as soon as you're in the Premier League, they will be looking out for you. I mean, who knows where the nightclubs are going to be opening by next season anyway, or towards the end of the year because of social distancing. But if they are, just be careful, be safe. Maintain that element of professionalism and don't get caught out because you can get carried away.
The football world's changed as well, hasn't it? We don't get the, you know, the kind of John Terry, Ashley Cole combos out in the early 2000s at London's night spots. It's all very kind of well behaved nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit. Yeah. Now they have this cohesive unit as well, okay? And I would just say don't change the winning mentality in your squad, in any squad, okay? Try, I think, Brentford, to keep your 11 together. Don't fall into the trap of kind of wasting a big wage budget on one megastar who could potentially be playing in the same position as an existing star player, or just a position where you don't need to strengthen, really. It's about keeping your pack together. Like you look at Leicester when they won the league and they tried to keep everyone together to keep pushing on and pushing on. I think when there are too many changes, that's where it all starts to fall apart. Yes, they're going to want to compete with the big guns in the Premier League, but you've got the BMW, haven't you, up front for Brentford, Benrahma, Mbeumo and Watkins. I just think they've got such a great attacking force that they were trouble a lot of Premier League teams, in fact.
Yeah. And I was going to chip in and say I was a bit disappointed with Benrahma yesterday.
Well, normally he's unplayable, isn't he?
Normally. Then that makes me think, how about on these big occasions?
Yes.
Because that's what everyone's looking at now for him as a potential transfer target.
And that massive winning run of 8 games to then have back-to-back defeats. It's like they suffered that defeat and they didn't know how to come back from it. And they've done it yet again. It's like they've choked just when they needed to produce a match-winning performance. Their match winners didn't perform as per normal. I mean, he scored, 17 times, provided 8 assists. He's been superb.
Allowed a bad day, though, few weeks?
They are, but it shouldn't be in big games like this. And might have ruined his chances now signing for a bigger club that he's been linked with. But I would just say to Benrahma, stay put. Go and enjoy yourself in the Premier League. See how it feels, but don't just jump at the first chance of moving to a bigger club. You will be guaranteed playing first team football every single week with a unit that you're all used to playing together with. So I just think don't mess with it too much, you know?
Okay. Mm. All right, Hayley, we will park your welcome pack just for a moment or two and head over to Lindsay. So, Lindsay, the first half of your dossier, please, for West Brom, and try and be nice, for goodness sake.
Okay, well, can I start by saying, if it's a welcome pack, can they refer to the 12 other editions they've had in the Premier League? Because they've been up there 12 times.
Ooh.
Sorry. No, I feel so unthreatened as a Wolves fan by West Brom at the moment that I'm actually going to share some top advice, okay? I'm going to do it. So what I would say is hold on to some experience. Some of those players that have been in the Premier League before, very much an impact sub for them this season has been Charlie Austin. I wouldn't be getting rid of him. I know that he's starting to get on a little bit, but I still think he can be an impact substitute in the Premier League. He knows the league well. He's scored goals in the Premier League, and that is really important. It's important to have some of those figures and personalities in the dressing room. And coming on from that, I'd say that they really need a new long-term leader. Chris Brunt, he's spent over 12 years at the Hawthorns, 36 now. He is going to need replacing. I don't think he can probably quite keep up in the Premier League anymore, but I would try and hold on to him to be at the club, to be part of that backward network, because it's going to be important to have players that have been at the club for some time and know what it is to play in the Premier League with West Brom. He knows that. Maybe give him a coaching role ambassador, or maybe keep him as part of the playing staff and give him extra duties. But I think someone like Romain Sawyers might be the person to go to, someone who can really establish themselves long term. And that's what they are going to need. You know, Matt Phillips, Jake Livermore, there are a couple of other players that I'd say are really important to try and keep hold of, as well as bringing in some new and making a couple of key transfers. Look, everyone's going to be looking at the same areas. I think for West Brom, defensively, they need someone. I think up front, they need someone. But I think that's the case for a lot of people. My other bit of crucial advice for this very welcome pack for 2021 is going to be about Callum Robinson. because he at the moment is on loan from Sheffield United. He arrived at the Hawthorns in January. Wow, what a player he's been for them. I think try and get him on a permanent deal. Mm. That would be my biggest advice.
I'm going to return to Leeds. Some very good advice there. I've been a bit more general, but this is important for Leeds, actually. Look after your fans. The poor Leeds fans, as we all know, have had pretty tumultuous 16 years, haven't they? It's fair to say. Elland Road's really been back to its best, hasn't it, during this most recent campaign. So take that momentum with you. Look after your fan base. You can think about incentivising them too. At Levante a few years ago, fans who attended 85% or more in their promotion campaign got their season ticket for free. Now, I'm not sure that's necessarily going to happen in terms of where football is at financially at the moment following the pandemic, but think about looking after your fans. And I always think of Leicester when I think about clubs who look after their fans, because there was such a brilliant set of, whether it was free beer, there was pizza, wasn't there once?
You always remember that free beer.
I mean, you know, fair play. But anyway, think about rewarding Leeds fans, please.
Can I add one in for Leeds? I know that it was yours.
Do.
I really want them to get a flair player. Some, you know, like everyone thinks of Cantona coming through from Leeds. And I think they just need that. If they're going to do any transfer business, just bring in one
bit of
stellar, marquee, unpredictable, can change a game player. And that's what I would ask of them.
Hayley, finishing off with Brentford.
Just enjoy yourselves. Go out there and enjoy it, because you don't know how long it's going to last. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not being negative. I'm not saying that you might get relegated after just one season back in the top flight. But go out, enjoy it. Play every game as if it might be the last.
Oh, such a mum thing to say, a very true piece of advice indeed. All right, well, that's us wrapping up the dossiers, the welcome to the Premier League induction packs that we have set for Leeds, West Brom and Brentford. We wait to see what the playoffs brings us as to who will genuinely join West Brom and Leeds. We've got school-themed topic titles today, thanks to producer Abby. You're Late is the next one. Now, viewers to Wolves versus Palace on Tuesday night might have been surprised to hear Steve McManaman pop up on CoComs 10 minutes into the match. And it wasn't because he didn't have anything to analyse. It was quite frankly just simply because he was stuck in traffic. How you manage to get stuck in traffic these days with no other fans that was an achievement in itself. So let's clean out the skeletons from the closet, please, ladies. Your stories of being late. Lindsay.
Oh, I'm not going to profess to be squeaky clean in this department, because I know that I can be a bit late, especially with social activities with friends.
Yeah,
and
trains. Trains normally.
Trains,
spoil you, don't
they? They do. That's because of where I live usually. But when it comes to football, I am struggling because I'm not very often late, and I've often been waiting for others more than I have been late myself. But I've tried to think of a few. The first game after this very restart, I was at Carrow Road to watch Norwich against Southampton.
Lynns, have you been listening to Jim White this morning? Because this is the second time that I've heard you say very before this very restart, as in before this very day. The second time you've done it, it's making me laugh.
Is it the second time I've done it? Maybe it is subliminally going in. I do listen to a lot of TalkSport.
Restart. But yes, carry on.
After the restart, I was at Norwich against Southampton. That wasn't my fault. Work scheduled in an interview and hadn't really allowed me enough time to get to the stadium with all the new protocols. So my first hit, which is sort of a scene setter for around the world of what the match means after the restart, I got there, I had literally 60 seconds to look at my notepad and then just go live. So it was a bit stressful. So
I have to say, Hoops, you are one of those people who can deal with that. You are really good at just someone saying, you've got a minute. I would freak out at that. I'd literally be all over the place, but you are very
good. Isn't that a warped personality, though, that like you get a kick out of those sorts of things. And you think that's fine.
I think I'd like to go into battle with you because you just very quickly decide, even if it's not necessarily the right thing, you definitely decide what to do very quickly. Yeah. Hayley McQueen, tell us your tales of lateness, please.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm one of these. I always plan to be early and then for 20 million reasons, I'm never on time at anything. Again, normally it's trains, it's trying to park at a train station. I'm not one of those people that allow sort of an extra half an hour just in case. I do remember it was awful in one of my first ever proper presenting jobs working for MUTV. We used to have to go along a corridor and up a lift and then across another corridor along sort of the edge of the boxes in the stadium. Now, a stadium is very big, of course, and getting from one end to the other is not all that quick. You had to allow yourself a little bit of extra time to get into the studio for a bulletin, and we were all a bit relaxed. It was during the summer. There wasn't an awful lot going on. I think there was cricket over at Old Trafford. We'd sometimes nip over there to go and watch it and then head back into our studio or be sitting out in the stands with ice lollies, sunning ourselves in between bulletins, trying to figure out news lines. And we were having one of these very casual days. Just topped up my lip balm, realised, sugar, we've got 2 minutes before we were going on air. And I knew it took about at least, oh, I think it was 5 minutes, sorry, before we were going on air. And it took at least 4 minutes to get up in the lift and down the corridor. And I ran to the lift with my cameraman, Gaz, and got in the lift, got up. The lift actually got stuck.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
And I, yes. So of all the days, of all the, it had happened before, but never like this. And stupidly, because we were in such a rush, neither of us had taken our phones up to the studio. And we had our producer, Simon Malia from the Northeast. Normally we'd have a producer who was a bit more relaxed about these things and would see the funny side, but he was absolutely fuming. He didn't know whether with sort of 10 seconds to go to just cut up an empty studio and hope that I was just going to pop into shot. But of course the cameras were all set up. It was just a case of you needed a camera operator just to sort of be there to make sure that everything was balanced properly, and we missed the bulletin and we got into so much trouble. Ooh. But the good thing is I managed to say that it was actually just the lift and it wasn't that we left far too little time to get there. I mean, there've been occasions when I've been on air, I've done Football First when Niall Quinn's flight hasn't taken off and he's supposed to be the guest and then he's arrived late, he's got into Heathrow and he can't get to the studio, and we've gone on air without a guest and I've just had to talk out of vision in the hope that nobody has realised that there's no guest yet.
That he's not sitting next to
you. And he would just swoop on in. I mean, there've been players who've been so late that they've never turned up. Imagine that.
Yeah,
Manchester United, Paul Scholes was quite a regular, just used to sneak out the back door. We'd hear that he was going for a massage or having a bit of lunch or was going for some treatment. So we'd just keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And then you'd kind of look out the front door and think, oh, there's no cars in the car park anymore. And they just skedaddled.
They would be called by my mother a last minute Larry. Those people who always try and edge an extra 30 seconds out. My lateness story is called The Moose and the Valley.
Oh, you've got a story for it.
Yes, well, not really. I just, you know, basically, well.
Hardback, paperback?
Sit back and listen, folks. It's time for a bedtime story. No, but basically, this was really early on when I joined TalkSport as a TV presenter for the now defunct TalkSport Live. It's probably a good reason why it's now defunct. Anyway, I expressed an interest in going to see a game with a reporter to see what happened, blah blah blah, soak it all up. And I was in my early 20s, so right at the beginning. And TalkSport, in all their infinite wisdom, sent me to a Charlton game with Ian Abrahams, the Moose, hence the Moose in the Valley. And he's great, but he was completely confused by the fact that in my infinite wisdom, being flighty and in my early 20s, I turned up just as the starting whistle blew. So he was sat there basically expecting me from how much before kickoff, Lindsay? Probably
get there 2 hours before.
Yeah.
Usually.
So in walks this, just as the whistle blows to start the game, in walks this flighty young 20 something year old. Oh, hi! And he's thinking, you know, you need to be here earlier, right? And he sort of gave me a little bit of a ticking off, didn't ask me to do anything. I just sat next to him and watched the game and sort of felt a bit sheepish because I was so late. So yeah, just one of those situations where I was late anyway, but I just completely got the wrong end of the stick in terms of what time I was meant to be there and you know, what I was actually doing there. Probably missed all his pre-match spiels. But there we go.
And you missed the food, which he would have wanted you to have.
Well, he probably ate my portion, so that's fine. and I seem to remember, and I can't remember whether it was TalkSport, who had a dodgy lift. I've definitely worked somewhere where, a bit like you, Hayley, there were continual problems with the lift and presenters getting stuck in the lift. To which note, presenters were told, just don't use the lift, please, if you're on air, because it's just not worth it.
I wanted to remind you of another one, because you were there with me, Kate. In fact, you were there earlier than me. I'm sure that Richard Laverty, who used to be the editor of the Offside Rule podcast website, offsiderulepodcast.com, would remind us of this. He always reminds me of this, that I turned up to the Continental Cup final for the second half.
But you did.
I think I have to preface that by saying I always intended that, because I was working. I knew I couldn't make the first half, and I decided that I'd rather see the second half of the final than nothing.
This Adams Park? I can't quite remember where we were. Were we at Adams Park? Or
yes.
Anyway, yeah. Yes, I do remember that. And Lindsay sort of sneaking in.
I tried to sneak in and not be noticed, but yeah. I was very aware I was going to only be there for the second half. But yeah.
You're not a person who can sneak in easily, really, are you?
No. Sort of,
you know. Bumping into too many people, you know.
That's not your start, right? Oh, in a big fluster. Here I am. Oh, I'm a bit like, here we go. Yeah.
Ending up hitting someone on the back of the head with a bag or something.
Yeah.
Any more from you, Hayley, to confess?
Well, what about this for a massive, massive, big name tardiness? Lionel Messi, right? Do you remember? Now, you probably don't, because all the talk after Liverpool beating Barcelona was Liverpool beating Barcelona. That famous, famous game, of course, where Messi beforehand had obviously talked about, you know, unfinished business and all that. Well, they had just been beaten at Anfield. He'd suffered complete heartbreak. He missed the team bus. They actually left without him to head back to the airport. That's true. They went to John Lennon Airport to get
without
a flight back
Messi.
To Barcelona. Without Messi. True story. He was left behind. He actually had to go and perform UEFA's random drug test and give a urine sample, and it took a lot longer than expected, and they just decided that he was just going to be so it kind of wasn't his fault, really, but and you can just imagine him,
someone
can't
would
you
check
I know, cutting a lonely figure in Anfield in some little room locked
exactly under where he doesn't want to be,
locked under the stadium like Harry Potter. I know.
Well, there you go, from Messi misses the bus to a really cracking story this week. This is the announcement that there's going to be a mega club in the Women's League over in the US. Oh. I'm excited. We'll explain more next. Okay, well, in our school-themed, as school's out, of course, school-themed topic titles this week, Staff Room makes number 3. And that's a good title because across the pond, big news to hit the Women's League over in the US, the NWSL, that a majority female powerhouse ownership group, I like everything about that, are finally setting up a new team ready to play in 2022. Arise Angel City FC. Now, that's its working name. There is also an Angel City roller derby team who are trying to be very nice about the fact that their name's potentially been nicked. but they are, you know, happy, I'm sure, to jump on the back of this. But the names involved are where the big storyline comes from, because Natalie Portman, Jessica Chastain, an actress, Uzo Aduba from Orange is the New Black involved, Jennifer Garner, Eva Longoria, Serena Williams, her husband, her daughter Olympia, to name a few of the people involved in setting up this mega team over in Los Angeles. So Angel City FC, if we were going to set up that all-female management team, and that's not what's going to happen, of course, but if we decide to go all-female on this club, who are we going to be choosing and why? Lindsay?
The woman that I want in that position is Jacinda Ardern. From New Zealand.
Good shout.
Look, she is amazing, isn't she? Look at what she's done during coronavirus. Nice, clear messages to the public. Everyone knew what they were doing, when to wear a mask, when not to, when to stay indoors, when not to, when to open businesses, when not to. I won't go on, but it wasn't the same here, was it?
Well, no, questionable here. She's also a working mum and just seems pretty down to earth in general, doesn't she? So I really like that idea. Hayley, who are you throwing in?
Do you know, I should have probably gone Nicola Sturgeon because she's run things very well up in Scotland, but I haven't got her as the chairman. I've got Oprah Winfrey because she is a megastar. She's got the money. She's a big fan of the USA national soccer team. And I just think if she could just bankroll the club, it would be great. She's got celebrity friends. She's got people in high places. You'd never be in trouble with Oprah. And she'd always be there with the door open for everyone to go to and chat it out.
Nice
chat. Communication is key, of course, when it comes to, you know, team spirits and keeping everybody happy, particularly when everything's kind of new and just starting up. So, yeah, there we go. Go Oprah.
Now, I had Oprah in too, but I've got Oprah giving the team talks. Busy lady. I wondered whether she would feel right taking charge of a club. So she's just, you know, just someone I'm going to parachute in for the team talks. I can't think of anyone more inspiring to listen
to. I've gone down that route and it incorporates my coach. And then I've got a separate position for team talks. So what I'm bringing in is, from a coaching point of view, Emma Hayes is going to coach this team.
Yes, me too.
Won a lot with Chelsea. Yeah. But I know for a fact that she isn't always wanting to do all the media. She does quite a lot. And sometimes she likes to have a break. And I thought, you know what? In this role, I'm going to appoint Emma. And as part of the contract, I'm going to say, I'm not going to ask you to do any of that. You're not going to do any of the media. You're not going to do any of the team talks. You're just going to coach on the pitch Monday to Friday, do the match. And what we're going to do is we're going to just ship in Michelle Obama. And she's going to do all of the team talks. She's going to address the press. She'll win everyone over. And she's just inspiring, isn't she? So I think that would be quite a good combo.
I also had Emma Hayes in as coach because she's got experience. Let's just make sure that we've got a footballing CV to match here, having managed Chicago Red Stars over there. And also the slightly questionably named Long Island Lady Riders. The least said about that one, the better. Okay. So, yes, Emma Hayes also gets my vote. Hayley.
Okay, well, I've gone for having Moya Dodd involved. She's the Australian Vice President of the Asian Football Confederation. She's also a board member of the Football Federation in Australia. She became the third Australian representative in FIFA. She's obviously a very high-profile woman. She spent 3 years as a co-opted non-voting member of FIFA's ExCo. Whatevs. She's 52. She is actually a former footballer herself. She earned 12 caps. She was the vice president of the Matildas for 5 years out in Oz as well. And she's super intelligent. She's a practicing lawyer with 30 years experience in business and law. So I probably have her as maybe the director of football. Or something like that.
I've actually sat in on a few presentations with her and talks, and she's absolutely brilliant. She just makes sense. She doesn't flounce her language around. She's very clever, and she's just very, very brilliant. One of those brilliant football minds. Hoops, who next for you?
Well, we want some established footballers on the board, just steering the club in the right direction. I've just gone for four names. I've gone Kelly Smith, Laura Bassett, Rachel Yankee, Kaz Carney.
I'd love to see them all together. I've actually got Kelly Smith in as forwards coach. She's earned a place and is loved in the US. So Linz and I very much on symmetry with this. I've also put Jennifer Aniston in charge of nutrition. Anyone who can look that good at the age of 51 must have some wisdom to share, right?
The club doctor has to be Dr. Eva Caniero, surely.
Oh, yes. That's what I've gone for. Yep.
Yeah. PR, Hayley, this could be a good one for you and I to discuss. So I was thinking about PR and who's really good at their own PR. Who would you go for doing that for the club?
I've gone for another celebrity, actually, and she's American, and I've gone for Chrissy Teigen because she's cool, she's fun, I don't know if anyone follows her on Instagram and Twitter. She's very outspoken. She's had a few little Barneys with Donald Trump, which has been quite good. But I think she would be great at PR because she's great at her own PR. Her mum is a chef. She cooks up all kinds of wonderful food. So I'd hope that wherever the club was, that she'd bring her mum in and she could do all of her Thai cooking as well. She's got a cookbook out. I just think there's no end to this woman's talents. And her husband as well is, of course, John Legend. So he could provide some of the music in the stadium.
Music. That's a
great
idea.
See, I just went all out there for Kim Kardashian. I just thought if she can make £1 billion purely from Instagram, it feels like,
yeah,
then maybe she'd be the right
she's
person.
Also
but I think Hayley might be onto something, especially with the husband-wife partnership there.
Yeah. Mm. Kim's also earned maximum points this week for talking about Kanye West's bipolar disorder. Some really sort of, you know, frank, honest words from her, and that just spelling it plainly out. I think that there could well be a place for her in women's football. Megan Rapinoe, we basically can't not have this club in LA without getting Megan involved. She's, you know, perhaps arguably coming to the end of her career. So where would we put Megan? I mean, she could do PR too, right? Because anywhere she goes, the story goes too.
Well, why not have her as the club in-house channel TV presenter?
Oh, yeah.
I love that idea. I've put Gwyneth Paltrow in charge of candles, but just for a joke.
Well, and I've been trying nutrition.
I've gone down the kit route. I just thought a woman linked to football, Victoria Beckham, fashion designer.
Oh, no, we can't have her.
Design the kit, no?
No. Okay. Bring in Stella McCartney, who's already got experience designing the Team GB Olympics kit instead. Well, and, I mean, of course, all the other work for Adidas, isn't it?
You said Gwyneth Paltrow there. I'm thinking, what about merchandise for her? Because she can literally sell anything on her Goop site, can't she?
Even those questionable candles.
Yeah.
Yes. Any more, ladies?
Oh, I think I'm done.
I mean, there are so many. I just didn't want to mention any female footballers because it's so hard to pick one or two, isn't it, when you have a plethora of talent out there. But I'm sure we could get many involved. Lots of my lovely girls that we have in, of course, on Sky Sports as well. We've got Sue Smith, Anita Resante, I really enjoyed working with the other day. So there's quite a lot of emerging media talent that could potentially come in and be part of the media setup. Mm. You've got big names as well that you definitely want involved, like Mia Hamm. But I think she's got an involvement with Los Angeles FC. So I don't know. I'm just thinking there's such a long list now, which is great. And household names, too, that lots of people, you know, really recognise, which is good.
Let's move on to the final section. Some of the smaller stories you might have missed from this week or some of the stuff that's just been breaking, really. Recording this on Thursday as we are. Any Other Business is the name of this one. And Lindsay, it's Any Other, over to you.
Okay. Berry, who we know
Burry.
Actually...
Berry.
Who were forced out of the EFL, but then reformed as a new club, Berry AFC. They've been allocated a place in next season's Northwest Counties League Division 1 North. It's basically the 10th tier, but they're on their way. They can start off again. And another team that's in that are the Isle of Man as well.
Well, the club's been formed, Lindsay, by fans of Bury FC, who were expelled from the English Football League in August. So there we go, getting another shot at it in a slightly different form. Hayley.
Well, I mean, there's good news, isn't there? Because it looks like from October, football fans are going to be able to enjoy football inside a stadium and Woo-hoo! Get back to watching their teams in action. So that's big news. We'll keep across that. We'll hope there's not going to be another winter lockdown and that coronavirus cases stay nice and low until we have none. We'll have a vaccine. We can all start going to football again. And by next summer, we'll be like, oh, did that really happen last year?
Oh, well, we hope so. Test events in cricket, snooker and racing going ahead over the next few weeks. I don't know if fans will have to be socially distanced in October. I guess that's a bit TBC. Mm. Not such good news, by the way. Today, there's been a big report from the Digital Culture, Media and Sport Committee about the impact of COVID on sporting and cultural sectors. Up to 15 professional clubs are in danger. They've warned, they've basically called out a broken business model. And the committee chair, Julian Knight, said any idea there would be a government bailout is for the birds, in my view, when there is £9 billion of a TV deal at the very top of football. The football family needs to come together and work together in order to sort this out. Much to be said about that one. I'm going to throw in as well the signing of Jessie Fleming. She is a Canada international. She's heading over to Chelsea Ladies. Really good signing. Born in London too, but London, Ontario, not London, not Chelsea, London. But I thought that was quite fun. Next season, this means, is warming up to be a great one in the WSL. Not only have Manchester City, of course, bagged Lucy Bronze and Alex Greenwood from megastar side Leon, but you've got Chelsea making bids and signing people like the wonderful Jessie Fleming as well. So I'm excited already, ladies.
And since the WSL is also going to be returning, and we've been getting regular updates from the FA, and they're doing all the coronavirus tests, that all looks very encouraging that that's going to take place and start up in September. Lots of footballers back in training as well, which has been good to see across social media. I thought I'd mention our WSL show, because the one that we did during the whole of the World Cup last year won an award.
That's right, so, yes. It did end early, of course, because the season ended early, but since 71, have given us that particular accolade for best football podcast. And Lindsay, I mean, I'm not, you know, too much of a materialistic person, but the trophy is blooming beautiful, isn't it?
It is, and I've got a spot for it just here.
I see, so it's coming to you, is it?
Well, I might give you the other one we've got back for a bit.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So generous. So thanks very much to Sid 71 for that. Thanks very much to you guys at home for listening. It's our penultimate podcast today, so you'll get the last one next week. Lindsay, give me one thing that you're going to do after finishing your final football gig of the season.
Oh, I think I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to go on a staycation. I'm looking at the Cotswolds at the moment.
Oh, very nice. The land of the Shires, where I am from. I can give you plenty of tips on that one. Hayley, anything? Well, I suppose your job at Sky Sports News obviously continues, but after the football season's done, what are you going to be doing?
Well, we're planning exactly what you've just suggested as well. I'm having a staycation. We're going to take baby Ayla to the beach for the first time in her little life. Oh. And we're heading to St. Ives for a few days.
Oh, lovely. Yes. Well, there you go. Whilst we all plan holidays and, of course, get the final business of the season done, there's still quite a bit, well, a fair amount still to go, isn't there? You can continue listening to us. Do leave us a review on iTunes, please. It helps other people find us. How do they do that, Hayley McQueen?
You simply go online, find us on iTunes, and then you can write a little review. You can tweet us about how wonderful we are, which we do get sometimes, and we love the feedback as well. But you just basically click on the 5 stars. It's the only option for you, and make sure that you submit that and tell us something lovely.
There we go. You're not allowed to say anything horrible, okay?
No.
Do keep across what we're up to at Offside Rule Pod on Twitter and on Instagram to check out what's going on. And also our website, offsiderulepodcast.com. Some great content from our writers there. And hopefully some interesting things are going to be happening with our website very soon. So we'll keep you posted as and when. Alrighty, it's time for me to unpack my luggage, settle back into home. Whatever you're doing, whether you're on holiday too or looking forward to yours, rest up, have a great week. And we will be with you for one final time this season next week. Bye for now.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.
My name is Matt Davis Adams. I present The Athletic's Chelsea podcast straight out of Cobham, and I'm a supporter of the two-time European champions Nottingham Forest. That's all well and good, but for the purposes of this promo, I want to tell you that I also host the very excellent Totally Football League show, where every week I'm joined by Swindon Town legend Sam Parkin and Southend stalwart slash journeyman Adrian Clarke as we follow this championship season to its conclusion. The Totally Football League show is now part of the Athletic's network of podcasts. And if you're an Athletic subscriber, you can hear ad-free versions of each episode on the Athletic app. But don't worry, if you really like adverts, you can hear them by searching for the Totally Football League show on Apple, Spotify, and all the usual podcast places. The Totally Football League show with me, Matt Davis Adams. Because there's football outside the Premier League too, you know?
Muddy Knees Media.